Good morning, everyone. It's a great pleasure to welcome you all to the Collège de France for this meeting devoted to cortical plasticity in auditory and visual impairments. This meeting follows on from a previous meeting that José Sahel and I organized several years ago. It was in 2007, also at the Collège de France. The previous meeting explores the basic mechanism underlying sensory disabilities affecting both hearing and sight with a view of their prevention and cure. Significant progress has since been made. The defect affecting the sensory organ, the cochlea for hearing, the retina for sight, are now better understood, and preventing and therapeutic approaches have been developed, including some gene therapy trials. This year, José Sahel holds the Liliane Bettencourt Chair for Technical Innovation. He saw this as a tremendous opportunity for us to explore another aspect of visual and hearing disability, the involvement of brain plasticity. Brain plasticity plays a role in all sensory disorders, even in those for which defects are restricted to the sensory organ itself. Brain plasticity is the remarkable ability of the brain to modify its structure, activity, and function in response to changes in the body or the external environment. This adaptation of the structure and function of the neuronal circuits in the brain is at the heart of all learning processes and plays a key role in all modes of sensory perception. Incidentally, the awardees of the very prestigious Kavli Prize in neuroscience have been announced yesterday. The laureates are experts in brain plasticity, Carla Schatz in vision, Michael Merzenich in audition, and Yves Marder in computational neuroscience. A deeper understanding of brain plasticity in the context of sensory perception is required for the design of therapeutic intervention, making best use of this plasticity. It follows that we need to understand how visual and auditory experiences transform acoustic and optical signals into a representation of the corresponding object within the cortex. This understanding needs to be extended to various stimulation conditions and to various contexts. We need to understand how brain plasticity naturally compensates for some sensory defect. We will need to identify the neuronal population involved to clarify the diverse mechanism underlying this plasticity, and this knowledge should lead to the improvement of therapeutic and rehabilitation approaches. Along the same line, we also need to understand how non-natural modes of retinal and cochlear stimulation used in prostheses modify the neuronal circuits of the auditory and visual cortex. These modes of stimulation include the electrical stimulation delivered by retinal and cochlear implants in the current prosthesis and also in the future optogenetic stimulation. This should make it possible to design stimulation parameters that optimize sensory perception by fully exploiting brain plasticity and also its possible stability. We need to determine the time windows during life at which this plasticity is present and most efficient. Indeed, brain plasticity varies in amplitude and mechanism throughout life, from developmental stage to aging. These are just a few examples illustrating the challenges ahead for the design of therapeutic intervention making best use of plasticity of the sensory system. This also implies the development of clinical tests to evaluate this plasticity in patients. We will then be in a position to propose appropriate approaches based on the specific plasticity characteristic preserved in the patient and also to properly stimulate brain plasticity using strategies inspired by this knowledge. Moreover, it has been clearly established that different sensory inputs, such as in hearing and vision, can influence each other. Furthermore, the information of these sensory systems, provide must be integrated into a unified perception. Let us consider a person shouting at you from some distance. Your localization of the person you see and the localization of the sound source you hear need to be the same for you to make sense of the situation. This integration of the sensory modes requires transformation of the sensory information processed in the sensory organs, the retina and the cochlea. This capacity to merge and integrate information carried by multiple sensors is in addition highly advantageous in terms of detection acuity, discrimination, and time response. Understanding plasticity in the context of multisensory integration is one of the major challenges of the sensory rehabilitation in patients. We can only guess at the huge therapeutic potential of such an approach. Vision and hearing are our principal senses. We use our vision to localize and identify people and objects with an extremely high precision. Our hearing can also localize people and objects, but much less precisely. Indeed, hearing is above all the sense used for human communication through its essential role in language and music. So we will now explore this plasticity together. Thank you for your attention.